Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and, oh boy, the cope is magnificent this evening. And with me I have...
All the world's a stage and we are home again, home again. All the world's afraid but we are home again. Home again!
And...
So this is what hope feels like.
I, for one, am very much looking forward to YG playing the White House inauguration.
Yes.
God okay. knows we all okay, heard okay. and saw that on CNN on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. That's all better be at least chart on Billboard like next week. Like I want that shit chart like, because I know it ain't chart before, but it should chart. But it should chart like next week. It should chart. It better. I mean, it's worth having to do it anyway. Considering you got the Grande bomb out of the way, strangely enough. I don't even know, like, positions are probably number one this week, but it's not. I mean, the album's all there, but it's not number, but the main song ain't number one.
Wow. Weird.
It's this other song, this one song called Moo featuring, you know, XXL Freshman 24K Golden. Which, okay.
Ah, yes, him. don't ask me to make sense of the charts. It's always something.
Yeah. I can tell you right now, on iTunes, that YG track, number 5 overall.
Is Bye 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 still near the top?
I don't see it.
Damn it. Remember when it got around that everybody was downloading that song for some reason? Totally doesn't have anything to do with current events, I swear. But yes, here we are, episode 198, so this was certainly a week.
Yeah, it's been a very, very long couple of decades of a week, where even though we all knew the results were going to be late a little bit, we didn't expect it to be, you know, Saturday morning, but on the upside, there were parties all over the place, and I, for one, loved seeing them.
Yeah.
Yep.
The celebrations
like that,
all around.
That one episode of The Simpsons with Mr. Burns' son, Larry Burns, Rodney Dangerfield. And at the end of the episode, they're all just going, let's party! And then Journey plays, there's booze, and everyone's having a good time. Also, the end of Return of the Jedi. Everybody cheering and applauding the fall of a fascist empire. And yet, they're still trying to pull off the dumbest government coup in human history.
Supported by people who could even go as far as to completely miss the point of a certain particular song that I have no clue how you could miss the point of.
I for one, advise all of us just sit back and watch them eat each other. It's gonna be hilarious to see all of them just turn on each other and, you know, try to dictate everything because this is what happens when you try to rat fuck an election badly.
Yeah. Oh, and I like to say this. All the people that are now saying, oh, let's be our friends again. After all the 4 years of y'all putting us down, telling us to suck it up, make it all but a dress set out. So all the bullshit get to endure all this, and now you want to play nice? Okay, let me quote one poet out. Let me quote one famous poet in this modern world. Suck my dick from the motherfucking back, nigga.
Yeah.
Y'all can't play this why can't we be friends shit after the past 4 years. You gave us 4 years worth of reasons why we can't be friends. So suck it.
Yeah.
In fact, if I may quote another famous poet, you can all run backwards naked through a field of dicks.
And just as a trifecta, because I feel like we have to quote this guy at every turn. Suck my dick and choke on it. I yield my time. Fuck you.
I love the existence of that man. I'm not even sure what his name is, but that is goddamn legend status right there.
Hear, hear.
Man, this. Oh, man, this is the thing that I needed.
Yeah, the fight isn't over quite yet.
Yeah, I know.
Right now, we're just taking the moment to breathe and relax celebrate and know for a fact that these people are going to kill each other from within. And all we can do is just sit back and let them do it.
Yeah, and hope that Georgia, considering Georgia does us proud again.
Considering that's where most of the infighting and soon-to-be cannibalism is happening, I'd say the chances are pretty good.
Very, very excellent indeed.
So say shout out to Philly as well. Shout out to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Because I know plenty of friends I know in Philly that met online, which I gotta say, you did good, guys.
Remember, rule number one, you don't fuck with Philly.
No. They boost Santa, they throw batteries, they have Gritty. Also, their lieutenant governor is why would you want to fuck with that man?
This is the city that invented the phrase fuck around and find out. I'm sure of it. But that about does it for our, intro celebration thing. Obviously, we all know that's what we're focusing on for the past 2 years. But now we will jump into our usual business. Starting, of course, with some new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can listen to these songs yourself. A bit of a shorter week, but there are some things worth discussing in here. First up, look at that. More Griselda. There's always more Griselda. And there's a twist.
What would it be? Oh! It feels a bit dreamy in here. It's Dreamville and Griselda.
Yeah.
Yes. The first guy here is Jid. Something we have not heard in a while. Kind of. And he collaborated with no other than Griselda's own Conway the Machine.
Ah.
Which is Bill S. Chapter 1, which I'm guessing there's more to come. I gotta say, with this, it is very, very soul. Got this very soulful, easygoing instrumental. Which, it's okay. I'm gonna dig it. I'm gonna dig what they're going on here. Like, you know what Jid does. He always got that clever lyricism. Listen to him, like, I hone my skills, sharp sword, swing alone for the moment. Atonement of my tongue, ownership is the only shit I've been voicing. He got some good lines from Conway too. Step out for the straps in Navigator, Donsty, Alligator, Auto Rapper Stages, Imaginative Exaggerators. Okay, I did like that line a bit, and I'm looking back at it, which, alright, this is pretty good. Like, it is definitely what I think more of what Jid does, and Comic-Con does one here too. But yeah, man, there's a nice body of a nice Lucy track over here. I don't know if it leads to maybe the more work from Jid, considering we heard him album-wise since his debut, and I know there's that and the whole Dreamverse 3 thing. This awesome track. I dig it.
Alright, cool. Now, moving on to the next track here. So, the supergroup Killer Be Killed, which consists, in case you've forgotten, of members of Mastodon, Converge, one of the Cavalera brothers, and Dillinger Escape Plan, are dropping their sophomore effort, Reluctant Hero, on November 20th, and we have the newest single here called Inner Calm from Outer Storms, and yeah, it certainly sounds like a song, alright, of these various things confluencing together. Honestly, for the most part, it kind of sounds like a post-Crack the Sky era Mastodon B-side, and not even the kind that would probably be worthy of showing up on, like, Medium Rarities or something. I mean, that first half is mostly just, like, very sparse but big-sounding grooves, and I'll give it... It finally picks up, like, a pulse during the back half when it goes into sort of basically Cavalera conspiracy mode. But other than that, it's just kind of a there track, I guess.
Yeah, it's all right. It's pretty solid. It's the kind of steady work I like to hear in supergroup tracks. And, you know, I always tend to forget that Greg Puciato can actually sing melodically when he wants to.
We may be talking about that soon enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Hint, 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 hint.
Yeah. So, anyway, moving on to the next track here. Time for some instrumental prog O'Clock, courtesy of guitarist Pliny, who's dropping their newest album, Impulse Voices, on November 27th. We have a new track here called, and I am probably not pronouncing this correct at all here, but Papalillo? I'm not sure what language that's supposed to be, but yeah, that song. And yeah, it certainly sounds like instrumental prog. Starts off with very steady, sparse, but syncopation heavy drum groove and these kind of bass guitar-ish rhythms, providing a solid enough bedrock for Pliny to indulge and show off with melodic chord progressions, all kinds of noodling and harmonics, and even some room towards the end where things get particularly heavy and saturated in the production. I get very heavy Animals as Leaders vibes off of this, which, you know, I know this sounds like I'm detracting from the song being fairly solid for what it is, but now I just can't help but think about when we're getting that next Animals as Leaders album, man. I need it.
Yeah, we all need it. Yeah, it's a pretty good track. It's got a little bit of that genty prog with some jazz fusion thrown into the guitar noodling. And then the second half comes in with some doom jaunt riffs. It's quite fantastic. Very aggressive in that second half. I like it.
Jaunt makes everything better. Anyway, moving on to the next track here in Tales of Wikipedia album release dates making me look dumb. Damn you, moderators, get your shit straight! Sorry. I should calm down. But anyway, the point is, this Friday, finally, after however many times we said it was coming out on Extra So Week, we will finally be getting that new 2 Chainz album, So Help Me God. I'm making it sound like that's a good thing, even though I don't really like 2 Chainz that much, but, you know, for the satisfaction of finally having the release date accurate, this is bothering me far more than it should. And, yeah, we, of course, have the latest single from the album here, called Quarantine Thick, featuring Mulatto, who I believe was recently on the XXL freshman class.
Yeah, she was. She is.
Yeah, and, first off, this has got to be one of the luckiest pizza guys I've ever seen. They just drag him in, of course, after disinfecting him because he needs to, I don't know, be satisfactorily socially distant, even though there is absolutely zero social distancing going on in this video at all.
Pretty much.
And also, what the fuck is this cheap-ass beat? It sounds like someone just tapping on a Casio for 5 minutes. Like, Kendrick Lamar can make a lone set of piano notes sound awesome. Whoever's producing this track cannot.
It is somebody by the name of Young Lan.
Okay.
I don't know who it is. And all I know is this: the song it's whatever. It's basically it's about, you know, ass. It's like you know, during quarantine we have to be doing much. Then you know, you spend all this ass and. You saw, look, okay, you see the video, you see all this ass. Look, ass there, ass over there, ass everywhere. It's a lot of ass.
Here an ass, oh. There an ass, everywhere an ass to ass, yeah.
Yeah, if you're for that, then yeah, the vehicle, the song, it's whatever, like, the beat seems, man, 2 Chainz is okay, like, okay, because I'm mid on 2 Chainz, like, songs I like him a lot, and like, eh, this is more of his aunt moments, and it's more of his aunt kind of songs. Mulatto does okay here. I don't think it is. I mean, she have a couple lines, like, you know, how thick she is, how she gonna steal your man, all that type of shit. Like, it's like, basically, yeah, it's basically that type of track. It's like, it's whatever, well, not anything I'll play anytime soon, but yeah, it's there.
I mean, if I want to listen to a track about people having sex during quarantine, I'll just throw on the newest album from professional Anthony Fantano doppelganger Mark Rebillet. You may hear about that in the album roundup. But, speaking of piano beats from relatively better producers and rappers, apparently there's a new project from Mr. Mike Will Made It coming out sometime 2021 called Michael. Get it? Because Mike is short for Michael. I'm actually, it's not that clever of a name, I'm not sure. But anyway, so we have a new track from this producer, which of course features bars from both Nicki Minaj and Youngboy Never Broke Again, called What's That Speed Bout? And my only significant takeaway is, oh dear God, Nicki Minaj Terminator's everywhere. Where the fuck is John Connor when you need... Oh yeah, right, at this point he's probably having, like, kinky robot sex or whatever the fuck happens in Terminator movies anymore. Do you care?
Why do they keep making
those movies?
I don't understand. All I know,
and
man,
the song doesn't give me enough to talk about, so I have to spend my time thinking about Terminator movies.
Yeah, and all I know about this beat is... It sounds like that one DJ Musta song we talked about a year back, the one with Migos. Like, maybe it may not be the piano or the whole beat of it. Like, it sounds like something DJ Musta would make, to be honest. Given the whole theme of, I don't know, is the whole video theme is like whole, like, you know, robots and chunk, all that type of shit. I don't know, there's Youngboy Never Broke Again, or, that guy, and he's there. Look, I ain't got nothing to say about his rapping. I don't know he's there. And Nicki Minaj, she's there too. This track doesn't give me much to talk about, to be honest. It's just, I mean, I think it's what a very weird-ass beat, which, unless I said the beat is kind of like a mustard beat, is the interesting thing about it so far. But yeah, maybe some better artists in there once the album comes out, which strangely enough is on, which I know is on his own Ear Drummers label, but it says at Atlantic Records, which used to be on Interscope, but now I guess he left that for this label, you're going to Atlantic, wow, okay.
Yeah, it is what it is, who can even keep track anymore? But anyway, time to move on to the last couple of tracks here, some pretty big ones in the realm of rock. So, this past weekend there was, of course, Saturday Night Live, aka a show that people still pay attention to for some reason. I'm not entirely sure why.
Every so often, mostly because Dave Chappelle was going to be on again, although it aired on a tape delay because there was a friggin' college football game with double overtime, and God damn it, Notre Dame! We're in a pandemic! Don't storm the field!
Okay, noted for the future. And so, part of that SNL included an appearance by the Foo Fighters, who, as it turns out, also used the opportunity to announce their newest full-length album, Medicine at Midnight, coming out February 5th, 2021. And on top of that, we got a performance of an official release of the lead single from the album, Shame Shame, and, you know, I gotta admit, it's been a while since I've heard a Foo Fighters album in full. The last one I heard was Wasting Light, which I thought was a really good album. You know, that, and I still have the piece of the analog tape recording from that first shipment of CDs. And, you know, I've missed a couple things. I've heard that they've been going on a weird downward slope, and listening to this, certainly kind of feels like it. Like, I don't get this instrumental. The guitars and bass have this really awkward flow to them. Like, I get that they're trying to vibe with the rhythm of the kick drum, but it sounds so choked off that it barely has an impact. And, hell, even that drum rhythm sounds weird. Like, it's some weird ballady folk rock thing that kind of sounds like Queens of the Stone Age's Lullabies to Paralyze album. Except, not like one of the main tracks, but like a B-side that went unheard of for very obvious reasons. I'm not sure what's happening here, to be honest.
Well, at best, it's overly repetitive. At worst, it's incredibly derivative. I wouldn't totally agree with what ARTV said about the track being kind of lazy, but meh. It's very meh song.
Yeah. But now we move on to our last pair of songs here, which talk about some of the most bittersweet possible news that one could hear given certain events. So, as we mentioned, this has certainly been an eventful week. There was all the election bullshit. There was the unfortunate passing of longtime Jeopardy host Alex Trebek. Rest in peace. And so much shit going on that, of course, of all the things to add on to it, we have our first new material in 15 years from the band System of a Down. Remember why I said bittersweet? Given how much shit we've been talking about a certain member in particular. And, of course, hitting right about the time this whole election happened. But I will be momentarily fair in this one instance, because apparently the release of this new material was at least in part that man's idea, due to the one political issue that everyone in the band can completely see eye to eye on, and that is the unjustifiable genocide against the Armenian people by the leaders of countries like Azerbaijan and Turkey, specifically occurring in a disputed region called Nagorno-Karabakh, also known as Artsakh. In fact, with these two songs that we have here, titled Protect the Land and Genocidal Humanoids, any proceeds made from them, as well as, you know, other donations the band is collecting, is going directly to a campaign called Aid for Artsakh. So, you know, at least they can see eye to eye on that one thing. Everything else is still just, my god, man. So, here we are, with the first new material from the group in 15 years. This first song, Protect the Land, feels very much more on the conventional side in terms of being a very kind of more ballady type Zoad song, you know, keeping its chord progressions pretty straightforward. The tempo is very, you know, mid to slow, not much in terms of a pulse, mixing in the occasional melody during a lot of its quieter parts in order to mix things up and sound very, you know, desperate about the plight of the Armenian people and everything like that. And then there's the follow-up song Genocidal Humanoids, which is a lot more what I think people would probably expect from new Zoad material. It's got an intense energy to it, lots of really heavy, chugging, D-flat tuned riffs. At least I assume it's D-flat. It could be C, who knows. And even some blast beats mixed up in there every now and then, going up against, you know, those kind of surf rock-esque tremolo guitars. Slaps pretty hard, admittingly, alongside the heavier material from, you know, the Hypnotize and Mesmerize era of albums. And, you know, I liked it for what it is. Too bad, you know, drummer.
So, yeah, first track, very sweeping and anthemic. Second track is very very hard and heavy. But, yeah, that's not where my focus is right now. John, Booby, we got to talk. I expect this kind of crap from Ted Nugent and Lil Pump, but I know you're smarter and more observant than this. So why do you keep sucking the dick of a guy who A, lost, B, is either going to be branded a failure or die in prison, and C, if all sources are to be true, does not believe in the Armenian genocide?
There is no logic going on here at all.
I know Captain Dumbfuck and Erdogan have been beefing. That doesn't mean he's on the side of Armenia, considering that, yeah, there was a bit of deflection with that whole thing that happened last year. Namely, that we were very shy to actually admit what happened because of this fucking asshole. And look, we all know that shit in the Middle East sucks hard with all the crap from Erdogan and Netanyahu and everyone else, but going gung-ho for the stupidest government coup attempt in human history is not gonna fix shit.
Now tell us how you really feel.
I would, but I'm a gentleman and I will abstain from that.
Fair enough. So now, with that out of the way, that takes care of the new song discussions, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, there is the news. And we're back. So we got a small handful of news topics to discuss here, so let's start right at the top with Mr. Donald Glover, aka Childish Gambino. Now, you might remember sometime 47 years ago when he shadow dropped a new album called 3-15-2020. Wait, 2020? That would imply that was this year, when it was clearly 47 years ago. Yeah. But yeah, that happened amongst many other things, and at least according to all the talk on his end, it would supposedly be his last album. But who really knows what's going on in Donald Glover's brain at this point? There's always something underneath the surface. And, of course, there's more to talk about now that he's finally taken to reactivating his Twitter account. Which, you know, he never does unless he's got some shit he absolutely has to say. So, in the most recent dispatch of tweets we've gotten, he's updated us on a couple of things. First off, seasons 3 and 4 of his FX series Atlanta, he is touting as some of the best television ever made and, quote, Sopranos only ones who can touch us. Which is some fairly bold claims, but I can't say much for sure since I still have yet to sit through the entirety of The Sopranos. But we are getting season 3 in January, supposedly, so there's that.
Mm, yeah. And hopefully it's going to be the best. I hope so, considering all that Disney money he got. And he has been both this and Lion King. Don't forget, man. I just realized Atlanta is a Disney property.
Atlanta's a Disney property. Oh shit! Yeah, it is. That's pretty wild. But then there was one other tweet that popped up in the tweet storm that captured a lot of people's attention. Namely, and I'm going to read it directly, quote for quote here. Last music project was probably my best. But the one coming will be my biggest by far. Listen to New Ancient Strings Outside. Interesting choice of words there. So, I mean, we all thought he was probably done with music, considering, you know, he literally said the last Childish Gambino album would be the last Childish Gambino album, unless his current turn is to release music under his own name as Donald Glover. Who even knows anymore? That could always be a possibility.
Yeah, this is quite the conundrum. At least under his own name now, what's time are you gonna bring us, or when's it gonna come out?
I don't know. Maybe it's like a Miyazaki or Death Grips thing where they say we're retiring, and they're like, "Heh, psych." Hmm. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and again, we wait for more Atlanta, which we don't know when that's going to come back. I know it's in January, but who the fuck knows?
Yeah, Lord knows how this whole COVID thing is impacting all of the production, or even if they were able to finish whatever they were doing for season 3 before the shit hit the fan, but you know.
Or somehow do some, I don't know, some tested COVID type of thing where, I think some people are doing some type of, like, I don't know, some COVID type filming, whatever the fuck. I don't know. I'm just guessing because I noticed most sitcoms are airing in this fall. How they airing now? Aren't they supposed to be and they should be done with, or did you film like a few months back, or did they must have filmed it? I'm guessing a lot. I don't fucking know. I'm going on too long about this.
Yeah, maybe they already had a head start on production, so who knows. But anyway, moving on to the next topic here. Allow me to utter a phrase that has become one of the biggest jokes in the entirety of the internet. I don't have any money, but I can pay you in exposure. Call this a joke. But jokes are normally supposed to be funny, whereas this phrase is generally more infuriating.
Yeah, and more of somebody want to stub a muscle in your ass. If we're doing this.
It's infuriating when some random no-name is wasting an artist's time for a commission, and it's certainly more so when, I don't know, for the sake of argument, giant corporations try to pull shit like that. I mean, there's been controversies over companies like, say, Hit Record, that thing owned by Joseph Gordon-Levitt to supply music and art for things like Beyond Good and Evil or Cyberpunk 2077, for example. And there's already been some controversies brewing about that beyond just the obvious. But now it looks like it's time for Spotify to take yet another L this year in regards to their business practices in this regard. So, their latest feature, which they describe as, quote, an experiment, is in regards to two particular kinds of playlists, that being Artist Radio, the one which algorithmically generates songs similar to a band that a user types in. So, say you search up, I don't know, Mastodon, and it generates a radio station with bands and songs of a similar vibe as those. And Autoplay, which uses that, you know, similar functionality once the album or playlist ends. And it turns out that their tactic now is to offer preferred playlist placement to any artist that wants it in exchange for even lower royalty payout rates, which, just for the record, as a reminder, artists get dick from Spotify streams.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
you mentioned that. Luke from Rocked actually did a video talking about music payouts. I did the math, and for Spotify, you have to average about 263 plays per track just to make $1.
Yeah.
That's twice as much required to make a dollar than both Apple and Amazon, by the way.
Yeah. Such is life. And the weird thing is, I think I remember super long ago, like, I forget how many years ago, when there was that infographic floating around where someone tabulated, like, how many, you know, streams, how much CPM from each major music streaming site you would need to get, like, basically minimum wage. And surprisingly enough, freaking Napster had, like, the best royalty payouts.
Oh!
That was wild. Like, the company known for being a beacon of, like, music piracy back in the olden days can apparently pay out better than friggin' Spotify.
Damn. Yeah.
What a
Ain't that
trip.
A bitch?
Yeah, so good luck with that, Spotify, as you have people dogging you from nearly every direction to just pay them better. I'm sure these tactics will work out for you eventually. But anyway, for our next news topic here, we go from theft to more theft.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm a bit of a guitar geek. I enjoy the guitar world. I do like to follow what most of the guitar companies are doing. You know, the smaller companies like Ole England Solar Guitars, which are, you know, very excellent, well-built guitars. Ola, please, wink, wink. Doing you a favor here, nudge, nudge. But one company I've had kind of a problem trying to be super gung-ho about is, well, Gibson. Because they've been prone to dealing with venture capital, a supposed bankruptcy escape, and putting out guitars at super high prices that have less features than comparable guitars at a fraction of the price. You know, the usual
business
crap. Yeah,
that sounds about right.
So, imagine my intrigue when I find out that Gibson is going to be releasing a limited edition Adam Jones signature Les Paul. You know Adam Jones from Tool. It's a 79 Les Paul custom. Very fun, very gorgeous silverburst finish to it. Kind of pricey, too. $7,000 for the regular quote-unquote model. $10,000 for a signed model.
How many models are there?
I think it's under 200 total.
Huh.
Yeah. But it appears as though somebody caught wind of this and decided to pull off a heist. I imagine this incumbent administration would have liked some pointers on how to actually steal something. Because they can't do it right. Because they're idiots. But anyway, this actually stems from a retailer I'm familiar with, Sweetwater, based out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, where someone stole a pallet of these guitars at a truck stop south of Indianapolis. And they only targeted these guitars.
Only these guitars?
Yeah, it was just one pallet that was singled out and stolen that had several of these guitars with a retail value of about $95,000.
Well, shit.
Yeah, 13 of these were stolen, 4 signed and the rest not signed. They have been identified with serial numbers. So, if you manage to find one of these guitars on a reseller like, you know, Reverb or eBay, just know if those serial numbers match, you could be in for some trouble.
I'm sure someone's going to wake up to a pleasant surprise then.
Yeah. And, yeah, I would love to have a guitar like this, but I don't have $10,000 to spare on a guitar like this. So, yeah, I hope y'all enjoy those guitars while you can, because, you do not fuck with guitar nerds when a fancy guitar like this gets stolen and somebody steals the opportunity to own one of these. Your time for repentance will come. And who knows, Adam Jones himself might come in there and punch you in the crotch for it.
Now that would be a hell of a story. Anyway, with that story out of the way, we have one last topic to discuss here. This one, it was announced somewhat a while back, but we were finally getting the full rollout earlier today, so this is kind of short notice. But yeah, it turns out this weekend will be the latest iteration of the Adult Swim Festival. Of course, occurring purely virtually on YouTube and AdultSwimFestival.com, November 13th and 14th, because of, the corona. So, what do the fine lads at Adult Swim have lined up for this year festival? Well, we have, of course, the expected performances. The big, highlighted ones at the top of the poster being Robin, specifically presenting something called Club Domo, of course, Mastodon, and even K-Dranada. Of course, lower down, we can see the other performances that are scheduled here, which include the likes of Alex Molly, Algiers, Baths, Blood Incantation. So you can fucking get high and listen to death metal songs about aliens and shit, man. There's Chilled Cow, Colin Stetson, Dawn, of course, Deb Never, Goucher Lustwork, Honey Harper, Isabella Love Story, Jid, Caitlin Aurelia Smith, Kamasi Washington, Lorraine James, Mount Joy, Nate Mercerow, I'm told that's how it's pronounced according to Adult Swim promotional thing, so I got it wrong the first time we talked about that guy, apparently. Of course, Open Mike Eagle, Radio Clue, parentheses, IDK. Not entirely sure what that means, but we could assume Mr. IDK will show up there as well. Rico Nasty, Swish, Tanuki-chan, Thundercat, Tycho, and Wax, with two X's. But, of course, this being Adult Swim, it won't just be purely about the music. In addition, we'll have various live streams of stuff, including Rick and Morty, The Eric Andre Show, an exclusive music video premiere crossover between Run the Jewels and Cyberpunk 2077, which, breaking news, turns out this music video premiere has been delayed, just like the game itself.
Well, damn. Oh, shit.
I'm telling you, CD Projekt Red really needs to get on their shit already, man. There will, of course, be a special edition broadcast of Toonami, some Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Tuca and Birdie, possibly previewing of Season 2, Laser Wolf, and even a brand new song and visual by Deftones, which, according to their own social media account, is a release of a track from the upcoming White Pony remix album, Black Stallion. Additionally, there will be other live streams for shows such as Samurai Jack, Primal, Space Ghost, Metalocalypse, Three Busy Debras, and even YOLO Crystal Fantasy, with live chat featuring surprise guests. Hopefully Flying Lotus shows up during YOLO Crystal Fantasy, just trolling the chat and shit, as it should be. Or, you know, Brendan Small vibing in the chat during the Metalocalypse marathon. By the way, how great was that Primal season finale? That is some good shit, and I need a season two. So, yeah, for those of you who need something to do this weekend, yeah, you can, you know, watch some performances of shit. Just makes me wish that someday all this shit will be adequately resolved and we can go back to stuff in person, but that's obviously not going to be for a while. Yeah, even with the news of the vaccine, obviously it takes more time for that shit to get sorted out.
Yeah. Don't worry, in due time, we will all be there in person to see Grimes getting tortured and getting dunked with hot cheese.
we're coming by Lil Nas X right around the corner.
Yeah, and a wild John Cena appears out of nowhere just to give a little bit of a friendly chat and slam Eric Andre through his wall.
As it should be. So, yeah, there's your weekend entertainment, and now that we have all the news topics out of the way, there's one last thing to discuss here, and that is the new album releases for the week of November 13th, 2020. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from Jesu with Terminus, for them Just in K Broderick fans out there. Of course, there's the new Intervals album, Circadian. King 810 have a new album called AK Concerto number 47, 11th movement in G major.
What was 88th movement too on the nose for these people?
The sad thing is, I think this is actually a legit, like, musical piece that exists. Although I highly doubt they're clever enough to have known that on their own without, you know, someone telling them what it was.
Tell these racist fuckhead fuckboys to fuck off. Fuck.
Anyway, there's the new Aesop Rock album, Spirit World Field Guide. There's the new collaborative album between Rich the Kid and Young Boy Never Broke Again with Nobody Safe. The aforementioned new 2 Chainz project, So Help Me God. And, of course, the newest album from AC/DC with Power Up. Now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
As always, and once again, Aura of Azure, I'm back, and I'm being snarky and trying to weed out all the bullshit from my feed because, just a pro tip. If you're going to unironically share the fucking quartering asshole, that's a good reason for me to cut bait with you. What the fuck, man?
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Since I ain't been here for last week, so my site, mindhabit1habitoverse.com. Check out my new Aura Fashion chapter, which is out. Well, it's been out for a while, but it's out for you all to read. And also, of course, Twitter. My Twitter, Instagram. You probably already said too much about it, but it's all there.
Yep. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up at the weekend. So subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified when stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @surrealreso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that wonderful shit. Be sure to jump into the Discord so you can, give your opinions on them, their new gaming console things that are coming out this week. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with the usual business. And later on this week, there will, of course, be the album roundup for October. So stay tuned, and until then, good God, there was a lot of shit last month.
Oh. Oh, boy.
Georgia, do the thing. Please, make McConnell cry.